Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Save the Kids podcast. It's your one-stop shop for raising kids in this tech-heavy world. We bring on professionals and experts to give you all the tools you need to help your kids become fire-breathing warriors that have the strength to break out of the mold society has put them in. At the end of the day, we're all here for one reason: to help save some kids. I'm your host, Nate Webb. Let's get to it. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Save the Kids podcast. It's your host, Nate Webb, live in Studio Salt Lake City area, and we got a show for you today. We've all heard of soft skills, right? Empathy, kindness, working together. Soft skills in general are more important now than they ever have been, but they're not so soft. They're pretty darn hard. And social media and smartphones, they're doing their best to try and take those soft skills away from us, replace emotions with emojis. And that is where our expert guest comes in today. Dr. Melanie McNally. Did I say it right? Is it McNally? Oh, look at me.
Yes.
She is a clinical psychologist, brain coach, and the author of The Emotionally Intelligent Teen, Skills to Help You Deal with What You Feel, Build Stronger Relationships, and Boost Self-Confidence. So welcome to the show, my friend. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So tell us a bit about your story. How did you end up in this space and everything?
I ended up in the field of psychology to begin with, just because I grew up in a really dysfunctional home and I needed a lot of support when I was a teen, and I wanted to be the support for teens that right. I so desperately needed when I was young. And so that's kind of what led me to the field of psychology and doing therapy. And then I did therapy for quite a while, but I ended up transitioning over to brain coaching because at that point I wanted more parent involvement. I wanted more access to my teens. Like with therapy, you're really limited by, you can only see them in the session and then that's it. And then you can only share with the parent what they have explicitly said you can share. And I wanted coaching to be a little bit more like involved. I wanted to be able to, you know, reach out in between sessions. I wanted to be able to like let parents know more of what we're working on. And so that brought me over to coaching.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. How long were you a therapist? How many years was that?
Well, let's see. I started in the mental health field and community mental health back in 2006.
Ooh.
And then I started doing therapy specifically with teens and young adults in 2013. And I switched over to coaching in 2022.
Okay. So that's actually, so you started with teens 2013, switched over to coaching 2022. So basically a decade of talking to teens. From that from that gap from 2013 to 2022, what were some of the unique big things that kids are dealing with that are unique to them now that they've never really been a thing before?
The big one would be social media and the impact that social media has on their mental health. You know, now they have a lot more access to, you know, seeing what their friends are doing when they're not hanging out together.
Right.
Seeing how people like present themselves online versus how they are in person, that, you know, has a huge impact on how they feel. And also, I think there's such an awareness now. There's a lot of awareness around mental health, especially. And so I see that they have a lot of self-awareness, but then they don't necessarily know how to regulate.
Yeah.
They know about anxiety, they know about depression, but then they don't know what to do if they're experiencing those symptoms.
Yeah. I'm a school counselor by profession, and I've noticed that, you know, kids right now, they have the predisposition to be the most phenomenal human beings that have ever walked this planet. It's just the regulation aspect. They're quite aware of their feelings and everything. It's just a lot of those soft skills, the ability to regulate when we're, you know, in fight or flight, when we have that cortisol pumping through our veins and our prefrontal cortex is no blood flow and we're very emotional beings. And so that's kind of where the coaching comes in, right? To help them with that. Now, before we can, you know, get to a mentally healthy place, we got to be thinking about mental wellness, period. And thankfully, mental wellness is a little bit more popular now than it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. But even still, you know, it people struggle with it. And I think a lot of people don't realize the ripple effect that there is with mental wellness and how prioritizing emotional intelligence now with adolescence might forge a better future with resilient adults. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, 100%. So, emotional intelligence is made up of, three components. It's made up of self-awareness, and then it's made up of self-regulation, and it's made up of interpersonal skills. And so when teens learn, first of all, how to be aware of what they're feeling and what they're thinking, but then they also know how to regulate. So they know how to calm themselves down when they are in really intensely stressful situations. That's going to change how they interact with the world. It's going to change how they interact with their friends, family members, colleagues. And it has, this widespread impact because if somebody is right, if somebody deals with a really stressful situation, but they know how to regulate, they know how to calm themselves down so that they can respond in a healthy way versus just blowing up and exploding and saying something really cruel or really awful. And now the situation just snowballs into something bigger and bigger. And you can see the ripple effect that that can have on a whole community when you have one, just a few people. So when people know when they have the components of emotional intelligence in place, that transfers long term. That's something that gets carried over within the community. And then you get better and better at it as you get older. So then when they enter the workplace, they are much more skilled at handling really difficult situations. And I feel like a lot of adults need that support as well. And so if
Oh,
we're
yes, we
teaching
do. We're so
our
bad at it. Oh my goodness. No, we need help. We need so much help.
100%.
Now, when it comes to managing stressors, you know, enhancing productivity, you like to mention this thing called the theory of flow. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so flow is our ability to essentially just do really focused and deep work. And oftentimes it increases productivity greatly when we get into a state of flow. So if we are able to go through what's called the struggle phase, which is kind of like the first part of entering in flow, where it's really uncomfortable and the cortisol is being released and we get really squirmy, we want to maybe get on our phone and distract. If we're able to get through that phase, we can enter into really deep focused work where we lose sense of time, things feel really easy. We're really engaged in our work and we end up being so much more efficient versus somebody who is distracted during the day and they're kind of switching back and forth between tasks and they're checking their phone constantly and they get some work done, but it's not really going to be great work. And also it takes them so much longer and then they feel burned out at the end of the day. Whereas if you get that focused work done during flow time, then you can end your workday so much easier quicker because you just got a whole entire day's of work done within, maybe an hour or 90 minutes.
So how can we manage our stressors so that, like it's easier for us to get to that flow and not be so distracted by those stressors in our lives.
Well, I think the big one is, first of all, to manage the stressors, we have to first have really good foundations for mental wellness in place. So that means making sure that we're sleeping enough every night, that we are properly, fueled and hydrated, that, we're doing other things in our life that are meaningful and maybe even like social where we feel like we belong. And then that way we have a really good foundation in place to begin with. But then, once we're actually trying to get into a state of flow and we're actually trying to get into that deep focused work, We need to be able to manage all of the distractions that are constantly pulling at our attention. You know, so maybe only having one tab open at a time, or having our phone turned off, or having notifications turned off. Oh, wait, I lost your sound.
Back, sorry, some reason I got muted. You're good. I think it's because my dog barked and I was like, crap, and I hit the space button. No, what I was saying is, especially with kids right now, they have so many distractions. You know, a lot of it can be digital, just because the digital world we live in, their smartphones, social media, and things like that. But being able to put that aside, because for some kids, it's anxious to put aside their distractions. For some kids, they feel like they're going to be more anxious without their distractions than they are with them. And I feel like a lot of young people, they don't realize that, you know, your emotions are not obstacles, they're superpowers. But they have a hard time with that. And so how can they reframe those emotions to overcome their obstacles? You know, shifting that anxiety into excitement and stuff like that.
Well, I think one thing is, first of all, like you said, recognizing that not all emotions are bad or need to be avoided, and that also there a certain level of discomfort is normal in life. And so it's not the ultimate purpose isn't just to avoid discomfort, you know, and that's what we often do with our phones. The second we feel bored, the second we feel a little stressed or a little anxious, we're picking up our phones or we're scrolling. And so we want teens to learn that discomfort is normal. We want their brain to get comfortable with feeling discomfort. And so
Oh,
learning
heaven
how to
forbid
just.
we're discomfort. What? Just kidding.
Yes, I know. Well, and that's how most of us are. We're constantly just avoiding that state, and we don't want teens to learn how to do that. We want them instead to learn that, okay, I can sit in this feeling, I can tolerate it, and it will eventually pass, and I can still do the things that I want to do while I'm in this feeling. And if there is like this really intense level of anxiety, like you mentioned, you know, we can turn certain emotions into a different emotion. You know, we can find ways to reframe and to think that, okay, maybe this emotion has some purpose, maybe it can be helpful, or if I'm feeling really, really anxious, I can think, you know, notice that, oh, maybe this is actually excitement. And I can actually tell myself, I'm so excited about this situation. And then that's going to cause my brain to go down a whole different pathway. And
Right.
so the anxiety is less.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier with, you know, being self-aware, and where the kids struggle right now is with that self-regulation. Now, what are some of the harmful effects of not being able to manage your emotions, especially amongst teens and young adults?
Oh, there's a lot. If we don't know how to manage, if teens and young adults don't know how to manage their emotions, then they're much more likely to, you know, develop pretty significant symptoms of anxiety and depression. They are likely to develop physical health issues because they're holding stuff in. They're going to have difficulty with relationships because they don't know how to, you know, speak to people calmly, or they don't know how to calm themselves down enough so that they can handle really difficult conversations with friends. So instead, they might just end the relationship all to begin with. Or they might end up feeling like they need to turn to something else to soothe, like some sort of substance or alcohol use
Oh
as a way to self-soothe.
man, man, who'd have thunk? Because being emotionally intelligent, it's become more popular now. You know, big names like Gary Vaynerchuk and people like that talk about being emotionally intelligent, but it's one of those things like easy, you know, oh, was it easy to say, but harder to do. And that's kind of where your book here steps in a little bit. Raising emotionally, the emotionally intelligent teen. And so tell us a little bit about that book and how it helps teens, you know, to develop that emotional intelligence.
So it is the book is written for teens and young adults, and although I've had a lot of adults and parents and educators read it, and they found it really valuable as well, but this book is designed to help teens and young adults, first of all, understand what emotional intelligence is, what it consists of. So those three main components I mentioned of self-awareness, self-regulation, and interpersonal skills, like understanding those components. And then it breaks down each of those components and it gives them some exercises and some tools so that they can, they can build in each area so they can become more self-aware, so they can learn some coping tools, so they can regulate, so they learn some skills to help with their interpersonal communication.
I love that. And I guess follow up to that, what are some of those practical strategies for teens and adults alike, of what self-regulation looks like? Like, what are some practical things that you can mention?
I mean, one of my favorite go-tos is, especially when people are first learning how to self-regulate, is to first label the feeling. So the moment you realize that you are feeling a really intense emotion, to label it to inside your brain, just to say, I'm angry or
Right.
I'm disappointed or I'm embarrassed. And labeling it helps to create a little bit of a space for us in our brain. So it helps to create like a little bit of a distance between our reaction and thought or our feeling. So we want to label it. And then once we've labeled it, we want to do something to just kind of bring ourselves into the present moment. Because oftentimes when we're dysregulated, we start to get lost either in the intensity of the emotion or really negative kinds of thoughts. So we want to bring ourselves back to the present moment by just focusing on something that is like right in front of me. And so that might mean touching something, and focusing on the texture of it, how hard it is, if it's hot or if it's cool. It could mean, chewing some gum. So I'm getting a little bit of a scent and I'm getting some taste, and then my mouth is moving. And so I'm getting those physical sensations to try and engage my brain. And then once we've kind of brought ourselves into the present moment, if we still feel that intense dysregulation, to just take a break where we step away from the situation and we let the person know, hey, I'm really upset right now. I'm going to go step outside for 5 minutes and calm down. And then once I come back, we can finish this conversation. So it's not a way to avoid or anything like that, but we're kind of in a way to calm ourselves down.
Man, I love that. There. Emotional intelligence is something that I don't think kids realize is going to benefit them long term. As a school counselor, I talk often with, different companies or people that are hiring, that are, recently graduated kids or kids working on different certifications can apply for. And I hear all the time, they're like, you know what? I can teach a kid a skill. I can teach the kid how to do construction. I can teach the kid how to do computer programming. It's a lot harder to teach the kid to get along with others. It's a lot harder to teach the kid to be emotionally aware, to be emotionally intelligent. And so being able to develop that skill of emotional intelligence early on is going to benefit kids so much greater in the long run than they can possibly imagine. So I'm really grateful for folks like you writing books like this to help kids with that so that they can, leap forward instead of, being set back when those challenges come and they're not able to use that resiliency, when they struggle with those soft skills. Because let's be honest, those soft skills, they can be hard sometimes. But if they practice them or more early on, they're able to move ahead instead of falling back. So at
Definitely. And that, oh, I just wanted to throw in there with emotional intelligence as well, that it was just ranked as, by the World Economic Forum, it was just ranked as one of the most in-demand skills for the next decade. So they
Wow.
put it above technical skills. It is
That's
something that
big.
employers, yeah, they are looking, this is what they are looking for. They want to, that is more important to them than bringing in somebody who might have technical training in their field.
Yeah, they'll take someone who, is emotionally aware, who can be kind, who can work together at everything. They'll take someone who is a rock star at that and okay at their technical ability over someone who's a technical rock star, but they are a jerk and they can't get along with others and they're just emotionally deaf. It's crazy how much it's putting people ahead. Anyway, as we wrap up, the to that floundering parent who might be struggling right now, not even knowing where to start, what advice would you have for them?
I would say, well, first, definitely get my book. You can get it wherever books are sold because it is going to give you a ton of tools and resources right off the bat. And if you are really struggling with your teen and you don't know where to start, I always suggest starting with a parent-teen journal where you just get an empty notebook. You talk to your teen about, hey, we're just going to write back and forth in this each day about things that are going on in our life. And it is such a great way to improve communication and to see what's going on with your teen, what they're thinking and feeling. The only rule is just that you each have to write in it once a day, and that's it. You leave it very loose. And what I have found is that when parents really stick with this and they write in it each day, they'll find that it starts off with kind of just like silly, stuff. But as you get you're consistent with it and do it each day, teens end up really opening up and sharing a lot. And it's a really valuable way to just to get to know your teen better.
I love that. That's awesome. And before we wrap up for reals, how can people see what you got going on? Shameless plug time. Let's hear it.
My website is destinationyou.net. So that's destinationyou.net. And you can see all my courses and my books and my one-on-one coaching is all there. And also I'm pretty active over on Instagram. I'm at Dr. Melanie McNally on Instagram.
Awesome. And all that will be in the podcast description. So please go check her out. She's doing amazing things. And thank you guys for so much for listening to the Save the Kids podcast. If you'd like Save the Kids to come out and speak at your school, business, church event, whatever it might be, please fill out a speaker form linked in podcast description below. Always remember, you are wonderful, you are worthy, and you are worth it. Go home and give your kids an 8-second hug, and we'll see you on the next one.